when will the rapture take place? A lot of people say, well, you can't know. Well, yes, you can. And I'm going to prove it this morning from the Bible. So don't start yelling heretic or anything yet. Hear me out. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 1 through 9 is where we're going to go. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Okay. Everybody there? All right. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 1. Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, and by our gathering together unto Him, that ye be not soon shaken in mind, or be troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter, as from us, as that the day of Christ is at hand. Okay. A couple of very important things to note here in verse 2. These people were shaken in mind, troubled, and it was so bad that their spirit actually, you know, they were very troubled by this thing. And what were they being told? They were being told that the day of Christ is at hand. Now, I believe the day of Christ is similar to the day of the Lord, meaning the second advent, when Jesus Christ comes back at the end of the tribulation. I think that these people are being lied to and were being told that we are in the tribulation and Jesus is going to be coming back the second coming. In other words, they thought that they had missed the rapture, is what they were thinking. And there are a lot of Christians that believe that way today. I remember right after 9/11 happened, we went and we visited a brethren church. And the pastor that didn't know what he was talking about, and he was saying that we could be in the tribulation. I'm not really sure, but we could be in the tribulation. You know, and you got Harold Camping, that nut on, it's on the radio around here. He teaches that we're in the tribulation, and he's been teaching that for however many years now, you know, conning people to listen to him. But these people were going through the same things, the believers in Thessalonica here, because Paul had written to them before and told them about the rapture. And false prophets were coming along and getting them messed up doctrinally. But look at there in verse 2 again, it says, nor by word, nor by letter, as from us. Isn't that amazing? There were people that were writing things back then, forgeries, and saying, this is a letter from Paul. It wasn't. You say, well, would people really corrupt the word of God? Of course they would. They were doing it back then, before the Bible was even complete. When Paul was still alive, they were corrupting the word of God. Why wouldn't they be doing it today, when Paul's not around to defend himself? You know? Pretty amazing. Look at verse 3. Okay, let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come, the second coming, except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Now, we're going to get into this more as the study progresses, but has the Antichrist showed up yet? No. These people, oh, we're in the tribulation. Okay, where is the Antichrist? Where is there a man that the whole world is supposed to worship? Okay? No, we're not in the tribulation. Now, it's interesting, though, because it says there, first part of verse 3, it says, there come a falling away first. Now, that means a falling away from Christianity, from Bible-believing Christianity. You know, we can look back, our group here, you know, we could go back, if there was such a thing as a time machine, I kind of wish there was, but if there was such a thing as a time machine, we could go back 500 years ago and fit in with the Christians back then. They were against Rome, Roman Catholicism back then. They were passing out tracts back then. You know, they were handwritten, most of them. Before the printing presses, of course, obviously they were. They were Bible believers. They, you know, we have hymns in our hymnal that are 500 years old, written by Martin Luther way back in the 16th century. And we still sing them today. But these modern churches, they have no connection to the past. They pretend that they do, but their religion didn't show up until the last 30 or 40 years. You know? They have no tie to the past. So what are they? They are the falling away. And of course, the thing that's interesting about something that falls away is the farther or the longer it goes, the faster it falls away. you know. And you look at every, I mean, it's not even yearly now that things get worse. It's almost on a daily basis. You know, and these big modern churches are, they're competing to see which one can be the most corrupt. You know, I mean, I've heard of stuff. They play secular movies Sunday mornings, you know, clips, and then try to tie scripture to it. The one guy I heard brought a tank into the service and was using it as an illustration thing. I mean, you know, it's insane. They got sliding boards for kids to go to Sunday school. They got, you know, inflatable play pens and I mean, it's insane. There's a woman I actually heard about this. I haven't done any research on this, but I'm sure you could find this. She's supposedly a saved stripper. And she does her dance routine in churches. She just doesn't take off her clothes, you know. But they put the pole up there and she dances around and stuff like that. I mean, it's insane. It's crazy. What is it? It's a falling away. And that's coming. That's here. But now the Antichrist, the man of sin, has not been revealed yet. So, I'm going to show you when that's going to happen, by the way. But something else I want to say, too, another thing I want to debunk is... there's a group of people going around saying that the Antichrist is not really a man, it's a organization. They try doing that too, which is nonsense, because they say, they quote back there in 1 John where it says about there are many Antichrists, and so they say, well, see, it's an organization. No, it isn't. Look at verses 3 and 4. It's he, himself, the man of sin, the son of perdition. It's a man, okay? Don't be deceived by that. But I want to mention something else quickly, too, about this falling away. John 16, verse 2, I'll just read it quick. They shall put you out of the synagogue, speaking of the tribulation. Yea, the time cometh that whosoever killeth you will think that he doeth God's service. And it's interesting, because the Antichrist here in verse 4, so that he, as God, sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. These people are going to think that the Antichrist is God. They're going to think that he is Jesus Christ, God manifest in the flesh. And the Antichrist is basically going to be telling them to go kill the tribulation saints. And so they're going to think that they're doing God's service by killing the saints. And you can see that thing being set up right now. And I don't want to keep, you know, going off on these subjects, but right now, Rick Warren, I have an article where he said that the Bible thumping Christians, like everybody here this morning, you know, King James Bible believers, he said that we are a cancer in the body of Christ. You know, the philosophy is already there. It's already anybody who's against global warming, anybody who's against the new versions, anybody who's against these modern churches, you're a cancer. And what do we do with cancer? Kill it. Exactly. So that philosophy is already there. But as far as the man of sin being revealed, we're going to look at that in just a minute or two here. But let's go on here to verse 5. Remember ye not that when I was yet with you, I told you these things? That's 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, which we're going to look at later, so we're not going to look at it right now. But look at verse 6. And now ye know what withholdeth, that he might be revealed in his time. What is keeping back the Antichrist? For the mystery of iniquity doth already work, only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. And then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders. Okay. Now there are three interpretations of this passage. Okay? Number one, he who now letteth will let till he be taken out of the way. The most popular interpretation of that is that it's the Holy Spirit. That's the he who now letteth, and then he will be taken out of the way, then the Antichrist shows up. I don't believe that. For some very good reasons. Revelation chapter 11, there's the 144,000 Jews that are sealed in the tribulation, and they're going around preaching. And the two witnesses of Revelation 11, and then the 144,000 of Revelation 7 and 14, that's where you find those at. They're going around preaching during the tribulation. Are they doing it on their own? No. have the Holy Spirit. So to teach that the Holy Spirit leaves and won't be here at all for the tribulation? No, I don't think so. I mean, I understand that the Holy Spirit currently resides in our bodies. And so in that unique way, yes, the Holy Spirit will be leaving in the bodies of the Christians. Yes. But he's still going to be available in the tribulation. And he's going to be very much needed in the tribulation. So I don't believe that that's the Holy Spirit. The second interpretation is one that Ruckman teaches. He teaches that the Antichrist will be there, and when he is basically wounded in the head about halfway through the tribulation, then the devil comes down, he's kicked out of heaven, and he comes down and he gets into the body of the Antichrist and rises up from the dead, and you know, then that wicked is revealed. Well, I don't agree with that one either, because it says in verse 8, "And then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming." Okay, that's not the devil. Because when Jesus Christ comes down, he casts the Antichrist and the false prophet into the lake of fire. Okay, they're destroyed. But the devil is merely cast into the bottomless pit, and he comes out again at the end of the millennial kingdom. So the devil's not destroyed at the second coming. The Antichrist is. So to say that that's the devil coming into the Antichrist, no, I'm sorry, I don't buy that one either. So I don't believe that it's the Holy Spirit is the he who now letteth will let. I don't believe that it's the Antichrist. So what is it? I believe it's the body of Christ. Okay, I've looked over this passage many times, and I'm convinced of that. He who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. In a weird sort of way, Jesus Christ is still partly on this earth. And what I mean by that? Well, if you read 1 Corinthians chapter 12, I was going to include it, but it'd just be too long to read the whole chapter. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 talks about we are members of the body of Christ. We are his body. Okay, and it talks about the different members have different functions and different purposes. Now, why hasn't the rapture happened yet? Because the body of Christ is not yet complete. So why, what is keeping us here on this earth? We are. We're the ones that are keeping us here. We are ambassadors of Jesus Christ. And every time, and this kind of came to me the other day, and it's kind of a convicting thought, but every time the Lord kind of prompts you to witness to somebody or put a tract out and you chicken out, as I've done many times, you know, you can judge yourselves, I'll judge myself. Every time we chicken out, that puts off the rapture. There's somebody there and God says, you give that person a tract and you go, well, you know, I got an appointment I got to get to. That guy over there is looking, I can't put the tract down right now. Every time we do that, Lord says, all right, it's going to take me another week to get a good Bible believer over there to witness to that guy. You know, but that has to be done before the rapture hits. So why hasn't the rapture happened? People were thinking it was going to happen in 1993, then you'd have the 7 years, and then the year 2000 would be the millennium. Didn't happen. People were thinking, well, the rapture is going to hit. Surely it's going to hit midnight, you know, when we go to the year 2000. Didn't happen. Then they said, well, the calendar's all 4 years, you know. So it's actually 2004 is actually the year 2000. Didn't happen. Here we are 2009. You know? And I think it's getting close. But the point is, when will the rapture happen? It'll happen when the body of Christ is complete. And that he who now letteth will let. The body of Christ is what's stopping the Antichrist from coming. Okay? And when the body of Christ is complete, come up hither and we're going to leave. So you want to know when what the rapture is going to happen? It's when that last soul is saved. And it's going to be kind of interesting, I think. You know, wouldn't it be kind of neat to be that person that led that last soul to Jesus Christ? You know, you're there praying with them and stuff, and they I now accept Jesus Christ into my heart, and in Jesus' name, amen. Come up hither. Boom. You're gone. You know, that'd be kind of neat to be the one that led that last soul to Jesus Christ. But just to reinforce this, just to show you that I believe that this is true, turn over to Revelation chapter 5. Revelation chapter 5, verse 8. Okay, chapter 4, you have verse 1. While you're turning there, I'll read this. Chapter 4, verse 1 says, "After this I looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven, and the first voice which I heard was as it were of a trumpet talking with me, which said, Come up hither, and I will show thee things which must be hereafter. And immediately I was in the Spirit." And as Paul writes, in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye. There's the rapture. Okay, now John is here in heaven in Revelation chapter 5. And we read verse 8, "And when he had taken the book, the four beasts and 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of saints. And they sung a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof." Now watch this. "For thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of the Jewish nation." Because these are Old Testament saints. Is that what it says? No. It says, "out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation." Now who's that group? Isn't it pretty obvious? It's Christians. These aren't Old Testament saints. God wasn't dealing with all the nations back in the Old Testament. But in the New Testament, he said, "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." Everybody gets the gospel preached to them. When we get up there to heaven, it isn't going to be the white race and only the white race. No. There's going to be whites, there's going to be blacks, there's going to be Orientals, there's going to be Jews, there's going to be everybody. Out of every people, kindred, tongue, nation. Okay? Verse 10, "And hast made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth." And of course, there's a lot of scripture to back that up too, that's Christians, the body of Christ. Okay? They are there in heaven. Now, turn over to chapter 6, and look what happens. Chapter 6, verse 1. "And I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seals, and I heard, as it were, the noise of thunder, one of the four beasts saying, Come and see. And I saw, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat on him had a bow, and a crown was given unto him, and he went forth conquering and to conquer." Now who's that? It's the Antichrist. And so what do you have there? You have the body of Christ in heaven, and then the book's open, and the Antichrist is loosed. So the Antichrist is not going to show up until we're in heaven. It's very, very plain. It's very clear. So, you know, well, and I just want to say one other thing before I make my final point there on that. Many, many, many of the seminaries and churches and things right now are teaching that this rider on the white horse, Revelation 6, 1 and 2, is the same as the rider in Revelation 19. I've talked to Christians that that's what they believe. And it's weird. I have a Cambridge Bible. It's a good Bible. I paid a lot of money for this thing. And in my center column reference, Revelation chapter 6, verse 1 and 2, it refers you to Revelation 19. Now, of course, the center column's not inspired, so, you know, I don't pay attention to that thing much. But the point is, this thing is taught in a lot of churches, in a lot of seminaries, that the Antichrist, Revelation 6, and Jesus Christ, Revelation 19, are the same. And they're not. They're not the same. Jesus Christ comes back, and he has many crowns and a sword coming out of his mouth. The Antichrist has one crown, a crown, and he is carrying a bow. And there's a lot more we get into there. But don't be confused by that. Okay? So when is the rapture going to happen? When the body of Christ is complete. So, you know, I know it's difficult sometimes. I know it can be embarrassing and things to witness. But, you know, keep that in mind. Keep that in the back of your mind when you are afraid to put a tract out or to give a tract to somebody or to witness to somebody. Keep it in the back of your mind that if I don't do this thing, that's going to put the rapture off. And you say, oh, that's okay, because I'm not really anxious for the rapture. You know, I like it down here. I'm having a good time. That's foolish. That's real foolish. Believe you me, the stuff that's coming to this earth, we would do well to get out of here. So don't put the rapture off. Okay? Put some tracks out. Witness to who you can. Let's get fanatical for Jesus Christ. Now, that's the first part. No, we're not done yet. Sorry, this isn't a modern church, you know. We aren't going to break now and have a praise and worship band come and do some dancing and eating donuts and drinking coffee or something. We're not going to do that. We're going to go to the second part of this sermon, which is seven ways to prove that the rapture is pre-tribulation. It's not a matter of opinion, okay? It's not a matter of, well, you know, we have some believers that are pre-trib and some that are post-trib, and we need to respect both views. No, we don't. The pre-tribulation rapture is proven in Scripture. The post-tribulation rapture of Christians, I'll say that, is not in Scripture. Okay? The post-tribulation rapture is tribulation saints. Again, we're not going to get into that. But seven ways to prove that the rapture is pre-tribulation. First of all, turn to Jeremiah chapter 30. Jeremiah chapter 30. We're going to go back into the Old Testament. You know, I had one of my nephews ask me one time, he said, about, are we going to go through the tribulation? And I said, let me ask you a question. I said, what is the tribulation? And he just kind of looked at me and he said, what do you mean? I said, well, what is the tribulation? I mean, is it a weather event? Is it some kind of natural disaster? Or, you know, how does it happen? And, oh, I never really thought about that much. Yeah. Well, a lot of Christians don't think about that. They'll try to say that, well, Christians have had troubles in the past, so we're going to go through the tribulation. That's nonsense. I'm going to show you what the tribulation is. Jeremiah chapter 30, verse 1. The word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, thus speaketh the Lord God of Israel, saying, write thee all the words that I have spoken unto thee in a book. I have the book right here, and you do too if you have a King James Bible. Verse 3, for lo, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will bring again the captivity of my people Israel and Judah, saith the Lord, and I will cause them to return to the land that I gave to their fathers, and they shall possess it. Has that happened? Yes. The nation of Israel, the Jews, are back in the nation of Israel. Now, for these nuts out there that try to say that the white Europeans are the Jews, have we come back to the nation of our fathers? No. America is not the nation of our fathers. American is the nation of the Native Americans, the Indians. The nation of our fathers is the Isles of the Gentiles. You can read about that back in Genesis chapter 10, I think it is. You know, Japheth is our father. Okay, our ancestor, you know, that we descend from. So that's the Jews. Like it or not, if you're anti-Semitic, it's the Jews. God's going to deal with the Jews. Verse 4. And these are the words that the Lord spake concerning Israel and concerning Judah. Okay? Israel and Judah. For thus saith the Lord, we have heard a voice of trembling, of fear, and not of peace. That's important to note, because the Antichrist comes in, Daniel chapter 11, verse 21, he comes in peaceably and obtains the kingdom by flatteries. Watch out for the peace movement. The peace movement is not about bringing in world peace. It's about bringing in war and killing those who oppose it. That's what the peace movement is. And 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 3 says, for when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. So look out for that peace movement. Okay? Verse 6. Ask ye now, and see whether a man doth travail with child. Wherefore do I see every man with his hands on his loins, as a woman in travail, and all faces are turned into paleness. Okay, why are the men holding their stomachs and you know, their faces are turned into paleness, like when you're sick? Well, Matthew chapter 24, verse 19 says, woe unto them that are with child. Now that's in the tribulation. It says that. Why? Well, because Revelation chapter 13, verses 16 through 18 talks about the mark of the beast. And no man can buy or sell unless you have that mark. So guess what? If you want to be saved in the tribulation, you can't take the mark of the beast. Revelation 14 verses 9 through 11 says that if you take the mark and you worship the beast, which is the same thing, you take the mark, you worship the beast. If you do that, you go to hell. And that's another way we can know we're not going to go through the tribulation, by the way, because we have eternal security. We are sealed until the day of redemption. The tribulation saint is not. You can believe in Jesus Christ and have the faith of Jesus Christ, but you take that mark and you go to hell. Period. Not, well, I had to buy some food for my kids. No. Because taking the mark will also, you will have to worship the beast as well. You'll be worshiping Satan, you know, essentially. You can't take the mark of the beast. So you're going to have Jews, especially, in the tribulation who can't take the mark of the beast, and they're going to be starving. It's going to be a horrible time for them. But I think it's kind of interesting, the thing of the mark of the beast. What's the mark of the beast? 666, you know, 666. What verse did we just read here in Jeremiah chapter 30? Verse 6. Kind of thought that was interesting. So, continuing on, verse 7. And here is very important to get this verse. Alas, for that day is great, so that none is like it. It is even the time of Jacob's trouble, but he shall be saved out of it. That is the title for the tribulation. It's the time of Jacob's trouble. Okay? And if you read, sometime you can read this. We're not going to cover it this morning, but Genesis chapter 32, verse 28, God calls Jacob Israel. The words are used interchangeably. We'll see that here in a minute. But Jacob is not the church. It's not the body of Christ. It's not a bunch of Gentiles. Okay? It is Israel. And God is going to bring Israel back in line in the tribulation. And I'm going to show you some really wild stuff on that here in just a minute. But let's read verses 8 through 11 now. For it shall come to pass in that day, saith the Lord of hosts, that I will break his yoke from off thy neck and will burst thy bonds, and strangers shall no more serve themselves of him. But they shall serve the Lord their God and David their king, whom I will raise up unto them. Therefore, fear them, fear thou not, O my servant Jacob, saith the Lord, neither be dismayed, O Israel. See that? O my servant Jacob, O Israel. For lo, I will save thee from afar, and thy seed from the land of their captivity, and Jacob shall return, and shall be in rest, and be quiet, and none shall make him afraid. For I am with thee, saith the Lord, to save thee, though I make a full end of all nations but America. Doesn't say that. You know, I've heard that from people. They say that America's going to get through the tribulation and it's going to be God's nation. Nonsense. God's going to make a full end of all nations except for Israel. Something to think about there. Because that's where Jesus Christ is going to rule and reign. He'll be ruling and reigning from Jerusalem. Though I make a full end of all nations, whither I have scattered thee, yet will I not make a full end of thee, but I will correct thee in measure, and will not leave thee altogether unpunished. So, yeah, they're going to go through some pretty rough times. Okay? But God is going to restore the nation of Israel. So any movement there, again, any movement that you see today that is anti-Jew, anti-Israel, avoid it like the plague. It's not of the Lord. I can tell you that. You know, the Zionist conspiracy and all that, that's a bunch of nonsense, okay? Are there corrupt Jews? Yes, there are corrupt Jews. There are corrupt people in every race, okay? That's nonsense. Don't believe in that stuff. God is going to restore the nation of Israel. Okay, so reason number one that the rapture is pre-tribulation is because the tribulation itself, what is the purpose of the tribulation? It's the time of Jacob's trouble. They will be corrected in that time. It's not for the purifying of the church, as you hear some people trying to say. It's not all that stuff. It's for the Jews, for the nation of Israel. That's very important. Okay, now turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 22. We're going to see the second reason that the rapture is going to be pre-tribulation. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 22. Okay, 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 22. For the Jews require a sign, and the Greeks seek after wisdom. Now you can look all through the Bible. God gave the nation of Israel sign after sign after sign after sign. So it's not wrong for them to have signs. And it's kind of interesting because if the Pentecostal charismatics would actually study the Word of God, they would see that the signs were given, the signs of the apostles, were given to the apostles to confirm the word to the Jews. Okay? God said, I'm going to give you some signs. I'll give you the speaking in tongues. I'll give you the healing. You know, I'll give you those things. The prophesying, I'll give you those. The Jews said, we still reject Jesus Christ. The Lord said, okay. Now we're going to go to the Gentiles. We're going to go to the Greeks. They seek after wisdom. You know, we like to study. We like to hear the truth. We want to research and document things. We seek after wisdom. We don't seek after signs. But now let me ask you a question. If you went to an Orthodox Jew today, what would be their reaction to the New Testament? Would they accept it or reject it? They'd say, you know, get that book away from me, you know, Gentile swine, you know, or something. You know, they would not accept the book of, you know, the New Testament. They do not accept Jesus Christ. So how would you get them to be convinced of the truth of the New Testament? Signs. Well, guess what? The time of Jacob's troubles will be 7 years of signs and wonders, unlike anything this earth has ever seen. And Hollywood right now, the old Hollywood propaganda machine, is cranking into high gear, trying to get people ready, braced for what's coming. 2012 and the knowing, this new one out. I thought it was called The Vanishing. It's The Knowing. You know, and they're trying to get people ready for what's coming. And they aren't going to be able to do it. You know? But the Jew, right now they reject the New Testament. But in the tribulation, in the time of Jacob's trouble, it's going to be play by play. Okay, let's see. Today was a hailstone, so, you know, mingled with fire and blood. What's tomorrow going to be? What's the next seal? What's the next trumpet? You know, oh boy, oh great. You know, I wish I would have accepted Jesus back when, you know, in the church age when it would have been easy. Okay, turn over to Matthew chapter 24, verse 30. We'll see this thing again here of the signs. Okay, Matthew chapter 24, verse 30 says, and then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven, and then shall all the, here we go, tribes of the earth mourn. James, the book of James is written to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad. Okay? Tribes there are the Jews. And they're going to get the sign of the Son of Man coming in heaven. Okay? And then shall they see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. Alright? Now just keep your hand there in Matthew chapter 24, but go over to the book of Hebrews chapter 9. This is very important. Here, another thing it's very important to cover. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 15. I have learned over the years that any Christian that believes and teaches that Christians are going to go through the tribulation, they will all do one of two things, and sometimes both. They will all change the text of the King James Bible with Greek or some other translation, and then the other one that they will do almost without fail is they will quote from Matthew chapter 24 and say it applies to Christians. They will use Matthew 24 and say, that proves that we're going through the tribulation. I'm going to show you why that doesn't work. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 15. And for this cause he is the mediator of the New Testament, that by means of death for the redemption of the transgressions that were under the first testament, they which are called might receive the promise of eternal inheritance. For where a testament is, there must also of necessity be the death of the testator. For a testament is of force after men are dead, Otherwise, it is of no strength at all while the testator liveth. Okay, you can go back to Matthew chapter 24. Now, here's my question. Did Jesus Christ die on the cross?
Negative.
No. Jesus didn't die on the cross in Matthew chapter 24. It didn't happen until Matthew chapter 27. So, doctrinally, you are still in the Old Testament. And you read through Matthew chapters 1 up through chapters 27, and you'll see things, go show thyself to the priest, and do the sacrifice commanded by Moses, you know, in the law. Mary has to give a sacrifice to atone for her sins. You know, a little turtle dove. When was the last time they did that in church? Some woman gives birth to a baby and, here's my turtle dove, you know. No, that's the Old Testament. They were in the Old Testament in Matthew chapter 24. Jesus was speaking to Jews. There were no Christians present. Christians didn't show up until Acts chapter 11, verse 26, as far as them being called Christians. Now, they were saved after Jesus Christ, you know, rose from the dead, and the blood was available. But the point is, doctrinally, you are in the Old Testament. So to use something there and apply it to Christians today is just heresy. And we're going to see here as we go through this thing that it's not only heretical about the timing of the rapture, but it also gets you messed up doctrinally. And to prove that, look at Matthew chapter 24, verse 13. But he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. So that proves that you have to endure to the end of your Christian walk with the Lord, and then you can be saved eventually if you work hard enough. No. That doesn't work. It doesn't work for us today. We're sealed with the Holy Spirit. Okay? Until the day of redemption. We are sealed right now. It's by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Ephesians 2, 8 and 9. We're not saved by works now, but they will be in the tribulation. Why? They can't take the mark of the beast. If they take the mark of the beast, they lose their salvation. So guess what? You have to endure to the end. That's why the men back in the book of Jeremiah are holding on to their stomachs and they're pale. They're starving. It's enduring. And it's going to be mighty tempting when you look out there and you say, man, them people are getting food, they're this and that. If I just got that mark, if I just got that chip, I could have food. I could get food for my wife and kids and whatever. But you can't do it in the tribulation. So, you have a major problem there. And a lot of Christians will try. They'll get all messed up there and they'll try to, you know, say that, you know, you have to endure to the end. And another thing that they'll get messed up on, then they go from here, then they'll go to the book of Hebrews, and there are three passages. We're not going to bother turning there. You can read these later. But Hebrews chapter 3, verses 12 through 14, Hebrews chapter 6, verses 4 through 6, and Hebrews 10, verses 26 through 27. I'll read that quickly. It says, for if we sin willfully after that we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sins, but a certain fearful looking for of judgment and fiery indignation which shall devour the adversaries. And people will use that to prove that Christians can lose their salvation. But again, that's nonsense. Why? What's the name of the book? Hebrews. The epistle of Paul the Apostle to the Hebrews. Okay? It's very clearly written to Jews. And I believe that the book of Hebrews is specifically targeted at tribulation saints, Jews that go through the tribulation. And can they lose their salvation? Yes, they can. Okay? So don't fall for that thing that you can lose your salvation. And, you know, if somebody turns you to Matthew chapter 24 and says, this is for Christians, we're going to go through the tribulation, and you can lose your salvation, just dump them. You know, they're messed up doctrinally. Okay? But I want to show you something interesting. This, I found this one time I was studying the Bible, and this kind of came to me. Revelation chapter 20, verse 4. You don't have to turn there because I'm just going to read these verses quickly. We're going to stay here in Matthew 24. I'll get back to that in a minute. But it says, and I saw thrones, and they sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them, and I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the word of God, and which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads or in their hands, and they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. Now, I believe that this mark of the beast is going to be twofold. I believe it will be an implantable microchip. And we see the technology is here right now, and they really want to get people implanted with these microchips. That's a whole other subject. But I do believe it's going to be upon the forehead as well. I believe it'll be two things. Because that way, anybody that looks, will be able to see there's one that doesn't have the mark upon their forehead. They'll be able to track and trace you with the implantable microchip. But it will also be a visible mark upon the forehead. Probably the three-pointed star that's on the New King James Version Bibles. I don't know. Because that's a 666. And in James White's book. There's another subject. But Leviticus chapter 19, verse 28 says, ye shall not make any cuttings in your flesh for the dead, nor print any marks upon you. I am the Lord. I thought that was interesting. Because a devout Jew, an Orthodox Jew, would know that as part of their law, and they would say, nor print any marks upon you. I can't take that mark. I can't put something on my forehead. You know, they'd say, no way, I'm not taking that. I thought that was kind of interesting, too. Okay, reason number three that the rapture will be pre-tribulation is Matthew chapter 24, verse 14. Okay, and this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. Is that our gospel? No, absolutely not. Our gospel is the gospel of the death, burial, resurrection of Jesus Christ, and the blood that he shed is there to wash away your sins. And you can read it. It's best to find in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. It talks about our gospel. The gospel that was committed to Paul is the one that we preach. And some people say, well, can't we preach both? There's a local ministry here, and the guy that's the founder of it goes around saying that the kingdom is now. You know, he's pushing the kingdom and everything, and he's, you know, we need to build God's kingdom and everything. He's very careful about it. You know, he doesn't say the kingdom of God, because the kingdom of God is a spiritual kingdom. You can have that now. But the kingdom of heaven is the millennial kingdom, the physical reign of Jesus Christ on the earth. But you just say the kingdom, you know, you don't clearly define it. So you can mean the kingdom of heaven, and, well, it's another thing. But can we preach both gospels? Well, keep your hand here in Matthew 24 and turn over to Galatians chapter 1. And we'll see about this thing of preaching other gospels. Trying to steal the gospel that will be preached in the tribulation and use it today. Galatians chapter 1, verse 6, Paul says, I marvel that ye are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel. If you preach the kingdom, are you preaching the grace of Christ? No. You're preaching a kingdom is coming. Oh, the kingdom is coming. What about the grace of Jesus Christ? It's not preached. Verse 7, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. As we said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that ye have received, let him be accursed. That's a pretty strong warning. So watch out for somebody going around preaching the kingdom, the gospel of the kingdom. The kingdom is now, brethren. Watch out for that. Be careful. Okay? That's not the kingdom, or that's not the gospel that we preach right now. Okay? Go back to Matthew chapter 24 again. And if you want to know when this kingdom is coming, by the way, it will be at the end of the tribulation. And you can read about that in Matthew chapter 25. Jesus Christ comes down, judges the nations, and sets up his kingdom. Okay, that will be, and we're going to be coming back down with him. But that's after the tribulation. Okay, and that's, by the way, why they're preaching the gospel of the kingdom, because it's that close. You know, they'll be preaching it in the tribulation because Jesus Christ will come back and set up his kingdom. Okay, reason number four that the rapture will be pre-tribulation for the body of Christ is Matthew chapter 24, verse 15. When ye therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet, stand in the holy place. Whoso readeth, let him understand. Now, the people that normally read that don't understand. And I'm going to show you why. Keep your hand there in Matthew 24 and turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. I'll show you why that thing does not work for Christians. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 16. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 16 says, "Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy, for the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are." Turn over to chapter 6, verse 19 in 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19. "What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own?" Okay, back to Matthew chapter 24, verse 15. "When ye therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet, stand in the holy place." Where's the holy place for a Christian? Your body. That's the temple of God. We do not have a holy place. Find that kind of interesting too. How could the Antichrist stand in our bodies? And as I said before, the Bible plainly teaches that we are out of here before the Antichrist is revealed. So how could we see the abomination of desolation, which is the Antichrist? How could we see him, first of all? That's impossible. And then how could we see him standing in ourselves? That isn't going to happen. But it will for the Jew in the tribulation, you see, because their temple is rebuilt in Jerusalem, and they'll see him standing there. We read about that earlier, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. He sits in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. And when he does that, then they can go, "Whoa, wait a second. That's the man. That's the Antichrist. I'm not going to worship that guy." Okay? So, another reason, again, Christians cannot be in the tribulation. It's impossible. The Antichrist is not revealed till we leave. And secondly, we can't see him standing in ourselves. Our bodies are the temple of the Holy Ghost right now. Okay, reason number five. The rapture of the body of Christ is first mentioned in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 51 through 55. Turn over there now. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 51. Okay. "Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed." Let me just quit there for just a second. A mystery? Oh, come on, Paul. We read about it back in the book of Jeremiah, written hundreds of years before Paul was even born. Why would Paul say it's a mystery? If this is the second coming that he's talking about, like many people teach, this is at the end of the tribulation, Jesus, you know, coming, why would he say it's a mystery? Look at verse 52. "In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed." Okay? In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. When Jesus Christ comes back, you can read about it in Matthew 24, and back into the Old Testament, they talk about it time and time again. The sun is darkened, the moon turns to blood, the stars fall from heaven. That's not going to happen in a moment in the twinkling of an eye. That's going to take a little bit. You know, it might take an hour or two or something, I don't know. It's not in a moment in the twinkling of an eye. This event here is first recorded. This is the first time it shows up. That's why Paul said it's a mystery. This is not the second advent. This is something different. This is the rapture of the body of Christ. We're taken out before God pours out his wrath. Okay? That's important to get. Verse 53. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, Death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? Okay, turn over to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 16. We'll look at the other rapture passage. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 16. Okay. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Okay, now keep your hand there and go back to Matthew 24. I have a question for those believers out there that believe that we're going to be going through the tribulation. I have a question about that. Okay, Matthew 24, verse 40. Then shall two be in the field, the one shall be taken and the other left. Two women shall be grinding at the mill, the one shall be taken and the other left. And they'll say, oh, see, there's the rapture, you know, this is the rapture. Where are the dead being raised in those two verses? It's not there. The dead saints are not coming up at that rapture of the tribulation, saints towards the end of the tribulation. Okay? This is something totally unique here that happens in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 16 and 17. Okay? Let me show you why this is different. Ephesians 1:13 says, In whom ye also trusted after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. And the Bible also says that we're sealed until the day of redemption. So the dead saints right now, their soul and their spirit, I believe, is with the Lord, but their body is in the ground. If you go and dig up the body of D.L. Moody or Billy Sunday or something, you'll find remnants of their body. I mean, you know, they'll still be down there. There are saints whose bodies are here on this earth. They're going to go first, and then we which are alive and remain will go up right after them. And we'll meet each other in the clouds in heaven, and then we'll meet the Lord, and we'll be with the Lord forever after that. That does not happen in the tribulation. That happens before the tribulation. It's the body of Christ that's sealed until the day of redemption. The tribulation saints don't have that same promise. When they get saved, they can still lose it. They have to endure to the end. They're not sealed. Okay? It's just such an important distinction. And people, the gospel is always going to be the same. You know, it's once and for all. You know, no, it isn't. It's going to change. Okay? It's a time of testing. The tribulation is. Okay, reason number six that Christians will not go through the tribulation is, and this is one of the good ones, I think. I think this is one of the real reasons why these people were going to go through the tribulation. I think this is one of the reasons why they say that. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 12. And this is reason number 6 why we're not going to go through the tribulation. Now, if any man build upon this foundation gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide which he hath built thereon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. What is it? It's judgment seat of Christ. Romans 14:10 says, But why dost thou judge thy brother? Or why dost thou set it not thy brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. And 2 Corinthians 5:10 also speaks of it. It says, For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that every one may receive the things done in his body, according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. Okay? So during the tribulation, we're going to get judged. You know, it's not, oh, we escape trouble when we get out and everything, and that's why we believe in the rapture. No. We're going to get some trouble when we get to heaven. It's going to be the judgment seat of Christ. And we're going to receive for the things that we've done in our body, whether it's good or bad. Okay? That's what's going to be going on. And really, I think that a lot of these post-tribulation rapture Christians, they're not looking forward to that judgment seat of Christ, so they kind of eliminate that. You know, we get raptured at the end, marriage supper of the Lamb, and we come back down. No. We're going to get raptured at the beginning of the tribulation. So while God is dealing with the Jews, the time of Jacob's trouble down on the earth, he's dealing with the body of Christ up there in heaven. Jesus Christ is judging us for what we've done with our lives. Now, something else I want to say here quickly. Why were the early Christians saying that they were in the last days? You'll see that a lot. Because they didn't know when the body of Christ was going to be complete. So they were expecting Jesus Christ to come back at any time. They were living in that, you know, it might be today. And if it's not today, maybe it'll be tomorrow. You know, and that's the seventh reason and the final reason. The seventh reason that we're not going to go through the tribulation is that we are told there are three hopes that we have. Okay? And the first one of those is in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 18. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 18. Of course, the other reference to the rapture is where we have the first hope. Okay. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. I'll just read verse 16 through 18. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Well, that's a blessing there. If you have a dead loved one or relative that was saved, you'll see him again. We're not without hope. You know, the stupid Jehovah's Witnesses teach that once you die, you're dead, and that's it. You go back to the earth, and you're gone. Wrong. I'll get to see my grandparents again. I know they were saved. I'll get to see D.L. Moody and Billy Sunday and Paul and Peter and John. I'll get to see him again. You know, it'll be an amazing time, amazing reunion. Verse 17, and we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Verse 18, wherefore comfort one another with these words. No matter what trouble you have down here on this earth, you will be raptured out before the time of Jacob's trouble, before the outpouring of God's wrath on a world that has rejected Jesus Christ. You're not going to have to go through that time. You're not going to have to worry about losing your salvation. Okay? Don't worry about the mark of the beast. You're not going to go through it. Don't worry about the Antichrist. You're not going to see him. Okay? That's very important to get. It's a comforting hope. Okay? Hope number two is a blessed hope. Turn over to Titus chapter 2. Titus chapter 2, verse 13. Okay, Titus 2:13 says, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. These things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no man despise thee. That's a blessed hope right there. At the rapture, all your sinful thoughts, your sinful actions, your lusts, your covetousness, whatever, done, gone. You receive the mind of Christ. You can read about that in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. It's all over. You get there. I mean, we are redeemed from iniquity right now in the sense that we are forgiven, but our full redemption will come when we are with Jesus Christ. And we won't have to worry about sinning ever again. That's going to be wonderful. We're going to get to see the saints. We're going to be reunited with our dead loved ones that were saved. And we're going to be redeemed 100% totally from iniquity. That's going to be an amazing day. What a wonderful thing. It's not, you're going to have to go through the tribulation and you could lose it. And, you know, then maybe if you make it, then you'll get it. No. It comes before the tribulation. That's so important to understand. And finally, to finish up, The third hope is in 1 John chapter 3. And this is a convicting one. 1 John chapter 3, verse 1. Okay. Behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. You're not going to be popular in this world. Don't even try to be. Verse 2. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. You don't have your immortal body down here, and you aren't going to get it, so don't try. But we know that when he shall appear, Jesus Christ, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Verse 3. And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. That's something that we need to really make an attempt at. You need to purify yourself. You know, I heard a statement from an old black woman the one time. She said, I fess them as I does them. And I'll tell you, that's one of my, not mottos, but one of my main philosophies in this life. You sin, you mess up, you give in to your flesh. Confess it as quickly as you can. Why? Because the rapture might happen before you get that thing confessed. And it'd be a terrible thing to get there before the Lord Jesus Christ and have a sin that you did not confess. You know, and it's, hey, if we're looking for the rapture and it could happen in the next 5 minutes, how will that prompt us to live? You get on the internet and you see that thing and you say, I'm going to look at that. Oh, wait a second. What if the Lord came back and I just got done clicking on some filthy thing on the internet and all of a sudden, bam, rapture. Mm-hmm. And you get up there and the Lord says, what were you looking at down there? See, it's in a moment, the twinkling of an eye. But if you believe that it's the second coming at the end of the tribulation, well, you got time for that. You look outside, ooh, the sun's darkened. Looks like the moon's turning to blood. Okay, let's see, I got to get this right and I got to get that right now. Okay, yeah, I got time. And also, if it's at the end of the tribulation when Jesus comes, well, when you see the Antichrist show up, you go, all right, I got 7 years. I can live however I want to live for another 7 years before Jesus comes. See, that's not of the Lord. The Lord does not want us living that way. The Lord wants us to live in a way that He could show up soon. And I really do believe that it's going to be very soon, the rapture. If you have things that you need to get cleaned up in your life, clean them up now, today. You know? If you've been cowardly in your witnessing, and I will stand at the front of the line for that. Get brave. Get bold. There's not much time left. Don't worry about offending people. Don't worry about upsetting people. You know? You don't have much longer to go. So I'm going to close with a verse. I got it typed out here. Revelation chapter 22, verse 20 through 21. He which testifieth these things saith, surely I come quickly. Amen. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen.